swallows the earth.
Yeah.
Welcome to PCMC. I'm your host, Mr. Mike Buongiorno. I'm here with my good friend and yours, Mr. Vin Forte.
We're doing it. We're finally doing it.
We are fucking doing it.
Getting it to that little, that liberal scum, Bill Nye.
Wow. Right out of Vin coming out of the gate, hot as a firecracker.
Mask off, baby. It's a whole new era.
Holy shit. All right. Well, obviously we have no time for pleasantries. We've got business to do today. Today's episode is on Beekman's World. Beekman's World, if you don't know, and you might not, because you're younger than me, probably, is a educational kids show that ran from 1992 to 1997. It had four seasons and 91 episodes. Bill Nye, the Science Guy, premiered a year after Beekman.
Whoa, we got a Garfield Heathcliff situation going on here.
Uh-oh. I guess before we get in, I have all sorts of... I've done so much reading and stuff about Bill Nye over the last week. It was a deep dive that I didn't know the pool was that deep, but I ended up getting a deep dive out of it. Maybe before we get into that, I want to know your experience of Beekman.
I was a total Beekman head. I loved Beekman's World, watched it every Saturday morning. Part of the, if we can do an aside, because I know we didn't want to do a whole episode on this, but we could sort of slip it in here.
Uh-huh.
When you think of like Saturday morning cartoon blocks, you think of like Fox Kids, you think of WB Kids, maybe you think of like Beek Syndication, but I feel like CBS kind of gets like lost in the shuffle a little bit. Like they had Ninja Turtles.
Yes, they certainly did.
That was the big thing, and they had Garfield and Friends.
Garfield but and like, Friends for me was like the cornerstone. Like I think that was on earlier. Like I'm a little older than you, so maybe my experience is different from you. But I remember CBS really being like an anchor. It was sort of like CBS all morning, and then one or two things on ABC that you liked. And then by like almost afternoon, you went over to NBC for Saved by the Bell.
Dude, that's funny because like ABC to me was like almost a non-entity until they retooled with like that whole one Saturday morning thing.
I loved Recess.
Yeah, that's later on. Like for a while, ABC had. I remember there were two shows I watched on ABC Saturday morning, the Ace Ventura cartoon.
Yeah.
I guess you could also throw the Dumb and Dumber cartoon. There was a weird time where there were two Jim Carrey cartoons on at the same time.
Yeah.
And then a Reboot.
Reboot. I never watched Reboot.
Yeah.
I never watched
an episode.
Well, you know, the thing about Saturday morning cartoons were like anything, like even like primetime shows, like things would come and go. And then there'd be mid-season replacements. There'd be things that you liked, and then it would have a few episodes, and then it'd be gone forever. Yeah. And then there were staples. For me, it feels like, from CBS's point of view, Garfield and Beekman were like true staples.
Garfield and Beekman were true staples. Although I will say, and I would love to do an episode on this, and I would even be surprised if you've seen it. My favorite show, favorite cartoon from that era.
Can I guess?
On CBS, yes.
Sea Monkeys.
No.
Okay.
No, The Twisted Tales of Felix the Cat.
Okay. No, you've spoken of this before on PCMC.
Yes.
Many moons ago.
People go look it up. Go look it up. It's fantastic. If you like Rocko's Modern Life or Ren and Stimpy or The New Adventures of Mighty Mouse, like this is right in that wheelhouse. It's just like very surreal and really like it's very cartoonish. Obviously it's a cartoon, but it like kind of knows that it's in a cartoon universe and plays that up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like someone gets an idea and then they'll like reach into their thought bubble and like pull the light bulb out. Like that kind of
shit. Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. Okay. Yeah. I never watched that, but it might've been later.
Probably
on.
Probably a little, I don't know. It was like, 95.
I did watch. Did you ever see Sea Monkeys?
No. That was definitely before it.
Have you heard of it ever?
I have heard of it.
It was a live action show.
Oh, it was live action.
Yeah. It was kind of, was it Howie Mandel? Who was in the Sea Monkeys?
I think so. That rings a bell.
Sea Monkey.
remember there being a, I remember seeing a
The
Sea Monkey cartoon.
Amazing Live Sea Monkeys from 1992 had one season.
Okay.
Oh, wow. This is bizarre. Let's see. Yes, Howie Mandel. Howie Mandel is one of the sea monkeys. Damn, one. It's a, isn't this amazing? It had one season. It has 11 episodes, yet here I am 40 years later, and I'm
Yeah,
like,
love
yeah,
it.
sea monkeys, am I right, guys?
I love, but that's when you're a kid, like you said, things just appear and then they go away. So you have no like spectrum on where to grade, like, oh, well, this person knows what I'm talking about. This person doesn't know what I'm talking about.
But you know how
Like,
this fits into
yeah.
our larger conversation? I feel like CBS was not afraid to do like live action cartoons more
Okay.
than the other, more than the other. Like I can't, like besides like Power Rangers, like what live action was on Fox?
I mean, if it wasn't a Power Rangers ripoff, like Big Bad Beetleborgs,
Isn't that a Power Rangers ripoff?
that's what I'm saying. Like, if it wasn't that,
Yeah.
like, I don't know.
This is
Yeah.
definitely a cartoon. Sea Monkeys was like basically a cartoon, but then Beakman's so interesting because and I've been watching a lot of it over the last 2 weeks. I've been really
Yeah.
taking a Beakman deep dive, and you know, it's still, I don't necessarily want to say entertaining because I'm obviously a very old man, but it's like dangling keys in front of a baby.
Oh, well, it's got that MTV production style.
Yes, it is
It's
bang
like
bang
Pee-wee's,
boom, whip 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 whip.
yeah, it's like Pee-wee's Playhouse. It's like if you took a show like Bill Nye
Yes.
and then added more like MTV crash editing,
Yes.
almost like a not a grungier tone, but like I like the look of his lab.
Yes.
Like nowadays, you would just fucking green screen a fucking lab behind someone. But
Right.
back then, it's got that, like, oh, we built this, and there's like neat touches all over the
Yeah,
place.
and unlike Pee-wee, where he would go around and show you shit, it was just back there. Like Beakman never goes and is like, "Hey, look at this," right? Like it was just there, and you would just, as a kid, you would just look at it and be like, "What is back there?" I could see little things like mannequins and wires and like some kind of a big industrial fan and all
Yeah.
and skeletons and all sorts of crazy like junk and shit. It looked a little bit like fucking Sanford and Son, because there's a lot of junk in there too.
Yeah, it's like Sanford and Blade Runner, like
Yes, which is you know, a band I had in high school,
yeah.
which Sanford and Blade Runner. So, did you know, by the way, that it's based on a comic strip?
Yes, but only because I read that like 2 days ago.
Yes, I only read it like a week ago too, and I had no idea. I was watching it, and I was like, and then it says it in the credits, and I was like, what the fuck is this? It's based on a newspaper feature called You Can with Beakman and Jax. And Beakman was a crazy guy with blue spiky hair, and Jax was, I think, a female with pink hair. And it was the same basic format of like, these are science questions, and Beakman and Jax answer them for you. And it ran for a long fucking time. It ran from 1991 to 2016.
Oh wow.
It was
That I
syndicated.
did not know.
Yeah. It was made by a guy named Jock Church, JOK Church. And so I've looked at it. It doesn't look good, but what it was kind of like that MS Paint, kind of like Dr. Katz professional therapist looking.
Yeah.
Actually,
Squiggle
whenever
vision.
in the Beakman show, like sometimes they would be like, what did they call it? Like the awesome scope or the bogus scope,
The bogus scope.
the bogus scope, and he would just bring it in, and then like there'd be that, which is kind of like Pee-wee. There'd be animation on it, and it would be that kind of animation. That's what it would look like, but it was like in newspapers. I don't ever remember seeing it, but apparently it was syndicated for a very long fucking time. It only ended in 2016 because Jock Church died.
Oh, he would have kept going with it
He
then.
would be doing it today. And here's a real crazy thing about Jock Church. He worked for Lucasfilm, and I don't know how he got in or whatever, but I guess one of his main jobs was answering letters from children.
Yeah, that I was a little, because I read that in an article and I was a little confused because I'm like, what? what
What job is
department in
that?
Lucasfilm? Yeah, like,
But
and he
also,
answered them via comic strip. Like,
yeah.
and then the cool thing is he was like, yeah, I sent these comic strips to newspapers and was like, hey, you want this? And there were papers that apparently kept telling him no, but he kept sending
So,
it to them anyway.
yeah, it's fantastic. That's the way to succeed in life.
Yeah.
But if his job at Lucasfilm is I open letters from children, how does he then get into production? Because I don't know if this is apocryphal or not, but supposedly the Beekman idea grew out of an idea he was working with at Lucasfilm of a Beekman-like show where C-3PO would teach you like cultural things and language things because he's the protocol droid, and R2-D2, which I don't know how because he beeps,
Yeah,
R2-D2 would teach you science stuff.
don't know if I like this idea.
By the
I
way, he might have
don't
thought of that one day and just like walked into someone's office and like, hey, I got an idea. And they were like, what's the fucking mail guy doing in here? Get out of
if
here.
you see three,
And
no,
he was like, I'll
okay.
show you guys. I imagine that's what he said.
Are you sure this wasn't Anthony Daniels? Yes.
Well, I'm sure Anthony Daniels came in with him. He was like, this is a
Yeah.
great project. We gotta get on top of it.
Guys, we get let. He's like the Anthony Daniels is like not to go off on a whole other thing, but I'm pretty sure we talked about it in earlier episode about Star Trek, that in season one of Star Trek, Geordi wasn't the chief engineer yet, and they were like rotating like a couple other people like just kind of in the background, and one of the guys, I forget his name, this like bearded dude, kept forging and sending letters to Paramount,
Oh, wow.
like being like fake letters. They're like, yeah, we love this character, like we want more of this guy, and they were gonna give him the job of chief engineer in season two, but then they found out he was the one writing the letters
Were they
and
all
they
like in the
fired him.
same handwriting?
Yeah, it was this guy, the character's name was Argyle.
Wow, good for
They're like,
him.
yeah, we love Argyle, and then like
What a
I guess
gambit.
it was all in the same handwriting too, because like you can't fake that.
That's really incredible.
And they were like, hey, we found out you were writing letters to yourself advocating for you getting a bigger role on the
Well, he
show. So
probably
now
was
you're
like, well, this
fired.
is in the history of Star Trek, right? They got like a third season because of a writing campaign. He's like,
Yeah.
yeah, this is what I'll do. I'll write letters. Oh my God.
That's how I feel about Anthony Daniels. He would definitely do that.
Oh, he would have 100%. He would have shot the pilot on his own fucking dime. I'm very disappointed to know that Anthony Daniels doesn't like Kenny Baker.
You took the words right out of my mouth, because I was gonna say he would green light the project. He would shoot the pilot with Kenny Baker and then immediately fire him once it got
Right.
green lit.
And like, you heard like, Abbott and Costello didn't like each other, and fucking Dana Carvey and Mike Myers had a falling out. But you're like, really, C-3PO and R2-D2? And apparently it's because Anthony Daniels is high roads him. He's like, I'm a real actor, and you're just a puppeteer in a fucking can, and we shouldn't be put together. Fuck off.
I know. Poor
Come on,
Kenny
dude.
Baker, but I was that a real story about how like they broke for lunch one day and they left him in the fucking
I can't
R2D2?
imagine that's true. I know that's an old story,
He would get
but
cooked alive. Like
that
how
would
could
be
they do that
terrible.
to
That would be
him? Also,
awful.
how would there be no way to open this? Like I know he's a
Or make
small
a
guy, but like
noise.
yeah, like
Yeah, I don't believe it. All right, so here's the interesting thing about Beekman. It premiered on TLC, the Learning Channel. That's back when it was the Learning Channel and not like just a weird reality bullshit channel.
yeah.
In 1992. And it was also syndicated in 1992. But then in 1993, it was bought by CBS and it moved to CBS. And I remember it just from CBS, but CBS must have played it all because the character of the like male girl, the female who is like, I guess, his assistant who brings up the letters and reads the letters and is like, I'm a wacky girl. There were three of them. And the first one is probably the most well-known one. She's Josie, and she's played by Alana Eubank, who you guys know from comedy. I mean, she's like she's incredible. She's right now she's the mom on Ted. She was the scary waitress in Waiting. She's been an Always Sunny
Yeah,
in Philadelphia.
she's just like one of those people like has gotten consistent character work.
And she always does like a different voice and does a completely different thing. She's incredible. And she was Josie, but Josie's only in season one. And I definitely wasn't watching it on TLC. So they must have shown season one on CBS at some point.
Oh yeah, I'm pretty sure in most big markets, like it was syndicated in CBS, like most CBS affiliates picked it up, and then it was probably a no-brainer to just
Yeah.
buy it after that for the rest of the season.
Yeah. So the sh so at the peak of its popularity, the show was seen in 90 countries around the world.
Do we want to get into this now? Because I know where you're
Yeah,
going
let's
with
get into
this.
this craziness now.
So in Latin America, it's apparently like wildly, but I don't know what's going on in Latin America where like this is not the first time that I've heard of something from the 90s like still having insane resonance there, because they've like in doing my research for Beekman, he's as of like a couple years ago, he's still selling out like 7,000 seat
Live shows.
venues, live shows. But like also in Latin America, like the other example I think of is the Sega Master System, which came before the Sega Genesis,
Right.
did not sell in the United States, like was a very distant number two to the NES. In Latin America, however, and specifically Brazil, it lasted like almost up to the present day.
So did they never have the Genesis branding?
No, again, this was before Genesis. Like this was the system that came out before the Sega
Oh, I thought it
Genesis.
was the same. Okay. So the original Sega then.
The original Sega.
Really? I remember I
Like,
had one, but it wasn't a big deal here at
no,
all.
it was not a big deal at all, but it lasted like local, like regional companies have been
That's always
making
so
games
fascinating. That's
like
fascinating,
for
those
like
things.
yeah, for that market for the past like 40 years. And it's because there's like, I mean, tariffs are hot news right now, but like you could not, it costs a lot of money to import video game systems into Brazil. Like, if you wanted, I think at the time I read like a PlayStation, it was like $2,000 to get a PlayStation. So, like, no one had the modern system. So, they would just fall back on like these very cheap to make, systems from the 80s. And
Yeah.
that's why, like, that became so big and they just stuck with it. Like, fuck it. We're not
That's
going to pay
crazy.
thousands of dollars.
I want to read some of this. This is from NPR. This is an article written by Josh Kalish, September 26, 2015. So it's a 10-year-old article. Remember Beekman's World? The Wacky Scientist is still big in Latin America. The kid show, I'm just going to skim through it. The kid show Beekman's World and its star, Wacko Scientist in a neon green lab coat and a Don King wig. The show is still beloved in Latin America, where the performance artists who played Beekman tour stage versions of the show to audiences of thousands. People apologize and say, I know you must have heard that. This is a quote from the guy who played Beekman, who I want to get to in a second. I know you must have heard this many times before, but I always tell them, no matter how many times I hear it, I will never ever get sick of hearing I'm a scientist because of you.
Yeah.
Crazy. Beekman's World is a mixed elements of MTV and Pee-wee's Playhouse, but the premise was straightforward. The title character answered kids' science questions, such as why does a bump appear in your skin after a mosquito bite? Then he talks a little about the comic strip. Beekman, yeah, it's going into the history. Today, it happened to a lot of people that we had this very family moment. Who's saying this? Okay, Beekman's World has been particularly popular in Mexico, where Alida Ruda started watching it after lunch with her mother and sister. It happened, quote, it happened to a lot of people that we had this very family moment when you eat and you talk about your day and everything, and just after that, we used to go to the living room and watch Beekman show. It's like a ritual, she says. Today, Ruda is a press officer at the Physics Institute of the National Autonomous University in Mexico. So, like, there are real scientists out there that are like,
Yeah.
yeah, man, fucking Beekman got me into this game. Beekman is played by a performance artist named Paul Zulum. And that's gotta be fake. And even sometimes he even says Zulum on the show as like
Yeah.
Eureka or like Bingo, like Zulum. A week ago, if you said, "What do you think he's doing now?" I would have made some crass joke about him being like some kind of a loser now. But I did a little research on him, and I think he's awesome. He's like a real artist. I saw some video today of some exhibit he did a couple years ago, and it was very like Yoko Ono. It was like a table with a bunch of toys and shit, and you were invited to come in, and he'd be like, "Pick it up, but don't use it the way it's supposed to be used. Like if it's a pair of glasses, use it like a sword." Or do and like I they showed like video of like all these people doing these things, and he was talking about it in such an intellectual way. I was like, "Well, he's a real artist." And then he fucking did this. God love him. Paul Zaloom.
Yeah, he's like a big socio-political artist. Like, I was looking up clips of like his early stuff in the 80s, and he's doing like performances about like anti-nuclear power. Like sketches and shit. Like he's like on the ball.
He's very cool. You know what? I would go see one of these fucking shows. Where's
Oh,
he? He should
absolutely.
play the halftime show. The big game's coming up. So every episode begins with two penguins in the North Pole.
Just why not?
Sitting in front of a TV with snow everywhere, and their names are Herb and Don, and they have little quips. They're a little bit like the old people in the Muppets, but they're not making fun of Beakman. They like Beakman, and
Yeah,
then.
they're just like making fun of their situation.
Yeah, and they'd be like, you know what? Turn on Beakman. And then you see like a little, the same shot in all 91 episodes. You see a
Of the
little
TV
penguin,
exploding.
a little, yes, the TV explodes and the little penguin touching the remote. And then you've got Paul Zaloub and he's doing insane hand gestures that mean nothing. It's all energy. Like, it must have been so exhausting to record this show because you've basically got a crazy set and then you've got three performers. You've got a cameraman who is super super close, like basically like close-ups right in their faces, so he, which so when you go from one person to another, it's all this whip panning and they're like just acting at 11. They're just like giving so much with every single
And the
word.
transitions between scenes are like just sound effects, people, someone yelling,
Yeah, oh wait, there would often episodes would have like something you could do at home. And you'd hear someone go, "Pencil alert!" Fuck, it's good. Season one had Josie, Alana, Ubeck. Season two had Eliza. Season two and three had Liza, played by Eliza Schneider. I think when I was a kid, I had a crush on her. And then season four had Phoebe, played by Santa Moses. I actually never saw a Phoebe episode until today. Did you read this or see this? Do you know who played Beakman's mother in like two episodes?
Jean Stapleton.
Edith Bunker herself, Jean Stapleton, played Beak Mom. And I was like, I gotta get my eyes on this. What does this look like? She fucking did it.
She nailed it.
She delivered. She's giving crazy energy like they are. Whoever the director is must have been great. Just
Yeah,
like fucking
she is
go.
giving Beekman.
Exactly. It seems like there's just a giant sign that said like pretend you're alone or something. Like just giving everything so much.
Even the music, like do you know who did the music?
No.
Mark Mothersbaugh.
He's from
Okay, well let me let you in on Mark Mothersbaugh
I know,
then.
yeah.
He is from Devo.
Devo, right. Okay.
But his whole second act has been film and television scores. He did the music
Oh.
for Pee-wee's Playhouse,
Get the fuck
which
out of
makes
here.
sense for him doing the music here. He did the music for
A
Rugrats.
little like
He did
Elfman,
the
then.
music for I think every single one of Wes Anderson's films.
Get the fuck out of here. Wow, okay. And so he did the Beak Mom, which is
That whole theme.
great. It still slaps. It hypes you up. All right, then let's we've been beating around the bush. Let's get to it. Why in 2025 do we still have this weird internet crush on Bill Nye the Science Guy and not Beakman?
Because I think Bill Nye the Science Guy has kept himself in the public eye,
Yeah.
whereas Paul Zaloom and Beakman have, like we just said, has sort of been relegated to in terms of live shows, like Latin America,
Yeah.
for a weird reason. Like, and I think that at the time, it stems from, at the time, Bill Nye having a higher profile than Beekman.
But why
But
is
why?
that?
But
Because as a kid,
right,
I
I
preferred
love
Beekman.
Beekman. Yeah, I'm right. I'm in lockstep. I very much preferred Beekman. Bill Nye was fine, you know, and they wheel out the TV in class, and
Yeah.
they're gonna watch Bill Nye. I'm fine with it.
It's
But I was
drier.
always like, well, it's definitely drier. And I would always be like, well, let's get some Beekman VHS tapes. And you're
Yeah.
like, I even had, I sent you a photo when we first discussed this topic of the like Beekman at home, like science kits.
Yeah.
Like I had a couple of those. Like I was totally into Beekman. And it always, I'm right there with you. It always surprised me that he never quite had the resonance that Bill Nye had. I think it's just because Bill Nye had, like, Bill Nye goes on talk shows. Bill Nye goes on, like everything
Yeah.
from CNN to Fox News, like he'll go on. Like
But even at the
he's out and
time, it
about.
felt like he was the more important one. But I found his show a little dry. I mean, not as dry as Mr. Wizard.
Yeah,
Did
Mr.
you ever
Wizard was just an old man, like
a
showing
mean
you
old
parlor
man?
tricks.
But clearly, both of these shows seem to have genetic sort of precedent in Mr. Wizard.
Right. Which is
Because
fine, but again, it's just, yeah, I'm trying to like really rack my brain on why like one got super popular. I'm gonna be honest, what was Bill Nye on PBS?
I think so.
Or was it on the Learning Channel after Beekman? I
Google it
want to
right
say
now.
PBS.
I also remember, even at the time, there seemed to be a feeling of like he's a real one guy's a real scientist and the other guy's not. I mean, his name
Yeah.
is really Bill Nye.
Right, exactly. Like Bill Nye, like, oh, well, we can use this guy because he's a real scientist. Like, we can have him speak to children and we can have him come out and do events. Whereas Beekman seemed a little more like, okay, we have to initiate doing a live show. Like,
PBS, yeah, he
nobody's
was
going to call
PBS.
us to do a live show. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that helped too because probably
Yeah.
more people, it's like the Sesame Street thing. Like,
Yeah.
when they put Sesame Street in. When they were like, oh, it's going to be on HBO Max now. And people were like, what? Because
Yeah.
that gate keeps it from being seen by, let's
Right.
face it, like the poorest communities. Like if you only have access to five channels or whatever, you're going to see more Beekman. I
Yeah.
mean, you're going to see more Bill Nye because he's going to be on PBS like every afternoon.
But I have respect for HBO in the regard of it was gonna end. Sesame Street was like, yeah, we can't do this anymore. We don't have the funds. We kind
And
of can't do
didn't
this anymore.
they
And
did cut
HBO
that
kind of
deal?
swooped in.
Well, like, didn't they also cut that deal where it was like, hey, like we're gonna get them first run, but like 5 weeks later, like you could just start
Yeah,
rolling them out.
yeah, yeah,
Well, I guess that's fine.
yeah. But so here's the thing. The tone of Beekman, and I don't know if, see, young people wouldn't know this tone. There was a time in the 1990s specifically, where there was this weird marketing vibe of like kids rule, grown-ups drool. Your dad and mom are fucking idiots. You're cool. And you wear sunglasses and have a skateboard, and your dad wears a tie and is like, go to your room. And that was every
Yeah, your dad
commercial.
eats Raisin Bran and you eat like, Frosted Flakes or whatever.
Yeah. And you're like, pass the Frosted Flakes, you fucking cuck.
Yeah. Pass the orange juice, you fucking hump.
it was like, there's also this thing, and I. Hearing it now, you can't believe that this was a marketing strategy that ever worked. But there was this thing that Pepsi did where they were like, we're the Pepsi generation. Young Coke is for old people. Pepsi's for young, cool people that fuck.
Yeah.
And it was like Pepsi generation. And like that shit resonated in the
Well, but then
90s.
they did, but they did take it too far because didn't they do, or maybe that was Coke that did it, where their response was to do OK Soda.
I don't remember that. What was that?
Oh, look up OK Soda or OK Cola. It was this soda that like was all in the market. It was basically Coke, but like the cans had like
Okay,
these
Cola.
apathetic.
Oh,
Like,
like, oh, very
oh, like we
twee.
don't care. Like, oh, this is fine. Like,
Oh,
we're.
it's like they watched like Nirvana videos and they were like, oh, let's do
Yeah.
that as a fucking Coke can.
Exactly. Where it was like, oh, we don't care about it. Like, is this soda great? Maybe. I don't know.
Okay, so I'm looking at the Wikipedia. I don't remember this at all. Okay, soda is a discontinued soft drink created in 1993 that courted the American Generation X demographic with unusual advertising tactics, including neo-noir design, chain letters, and deliberately negative publicity. After the soda did not sell well in select test markets, it was officially declared out of production in 1995 before reaching nationwide distribution. So it might have not even gotten to us. And
Yeah.
yes, it's manufactured by Coca-Cola. Wow. What a weird fucking time the 90s was, man.
I know. All I wanted was a Boku.
Yeah. And so Beekman's World had a lot of that vibe in it. Like,
Yeah, like
there
we're
was.
not just gonna lecture you about science. Like, hey, go to your kitchen and like do a science experiment with us.
And like it was kind of like rude, not like rude in like a mean way, but like, you stink, go jump off a tree or whatever, like that kind of like dialogue. Everyone's
Well,
always
because,
razzing each other and ribbing each other.
well, especially with Lester, because
Yeah, we haven't even talked about
I
Lester
know
yet.
we really buried the lead. Like they have on this show, like the one of the things that really separated from Bill Nye is that it was just like a funnier show. Like they had comic foils on this show,
I
like a
know.
guy in a big fucking
It's still
rat
good.
suit.
It's good. By
Yeah,
the
and
way,
he's.
when I was 12, if you had told me, hey, listen, Mike, one day you're going to look like Lester. You might not have the rat suit, but you're going to have the graying beard and fucking forearm hair and
Yeah.
basic schlubby demeanor.
Yeah, Lester is definitely schlubby. Like he's def Lester's definitely
Oh, he's the
like
best.
a breeze from Brooklyn. Like all the him and
Oh,
Beekman are
he's
from
doing like a
Brooklyn.
Brooklyn accent. So is
He's
Beekman too.
they're like today we're gonna go down and get some super sod and learn how salt is cured or whatever.
Gabagool. So
Yeah.
Lester the Lab Rat is played by Mark Ritz. He's on every episode, every season. A guy with salt and pepper beard and a rat costume with a it's a visible zipper. So it's
Oh,
like
yeah. It's
it's a guy.
clearly, they're
His
not
character
hiding it.
is,
It's a guy in a rat suit.
yeah, right. The character is guy in rat suit.
And like they always make fun of like, yeah, I can never get more work than just a guy in a
I
rat
can't
suit.
get my agent on the phone
Yeah.
because kids love showbiz jokes like that.
But then like if someone steps on his tail, he'll react like it actually hurts. So like
Right.
they kind of play it both ways.
Yeah, they do play both ways because he's the lab rat.
Yeah.
But he's also like. But he's also like the one they dunk on. Like he's
Yeah, Beekman's always
stinky
making
and
him do
fat and
challenges.
smelly. His main job is to give the
He gives
wrong
them.
answer.
I was just about
Like,
to say, like he's there to set up the audience where it's like, oh, Lester, how does gravity work? And you're like, oh, I don't know, I spit in my wife's face or whatever. It's like, no, Lester, like.
the one I saw today with Edith Bunker was like, the challenge is. You've got toast with jam on one side. How do you get it to,
Oh, to flip correctly, like
and land jelly side up? And he's like, "No problem, I got it." And then he fucks it up because
who's
he's a piece of shit.
the one? Like again, like you're not gonna see that on Bill Nye. You're gonna see a
No.
guy in a rat suit fucking up a challenge.
And he's so and like, I want to finish describing him. He's got the visible zipper. His face is showing. He's got like a graying beard. He has a rat nose, but you could see the rubber bands around it. Like he's just a guy wearing a rat nose he got from
Yeah.
like he like won from the carnival. He's got a white t-shirt under it. His sleeve is rolled up where like in the 50s greasers would put like cigarettes,
Yeah.
but he's got a block of cheese.
Again,
The rat.
he looks like he just left his job as a plumber
Yes.
to put
He
on
had
this rat
big gaudy
suit.
rings. And
Yeah.
like a gold watch and like a tattoo on his forearm. And he's like, hey, I'm Lester. How you doing?
What about a why? I got these get these bootleg DVDs in my trunk.
You like the White Chicks? It's the best movie.
I didn't know where you were going with that for a second. I was like,
Oh, he's selling White Chicks. I work for Wayfair.
want to buy an Amanda?
I know that this is like 15 years past its prime, but like they should
The Wayfair Traffic.
No, the thing I'm about to say, there needed to be like 10 years ago a Funny or Die video of like Lester now.
Oh,
That
yes.
was totally the kind of thing Funny or Die would do.
Yeah, or like a dorkly animation.
Yeah. And Mark Ritz, by the way, despite giving it a great performance, I think he's like a producer on the show. Like I don't
Yeah.
think he even did other things besides this.
What's he up to now? Is he dead? Is he?
Oh my God.
I hope not.
I hope he's fucking thriving. Mark Ritz, American. Oh, he did die.
Oh no.
Oh, bummer.
When did he?
He died a while ago. He died in
Uh-oh.
2009.
Well, that sucks because now that he's dead, I can't not picture him as Lester. Like,
What? I
putting that
can't do
in
math.
my
How,
head.
if you're born in 1946 and die in 2009, how old are you?
20,
Oh, wait,
60,
it says right here on Wikipedia. 63. Not
63?
that
Yeah.
old.
No.
Occupation: actor, puppeteer, television producer, and director and author.
Oh.
President, known for president of Mark Ritz Productions. Okay. Notable work: The Real Adventures of Sherlock Holmes and Proctor Watson, The Pink Panther Show, Star Stuff, Storytime, Beakman's World, and Barney the Dinosaur. Wait, who did he play on Barney? Was or wait a
Or
second.
may I think he maybe just like had a producer.
If he all right, because I was about to flip out if he's in the barn. If he is Barney,
He's Barney, and then turned around and like on Mondays he's Barney, and then on the weekends he's Lester.
oh my God. No, after moving to California from the East Coast in 1994, Mark wrote and produced a Barney the Dinosaur special for Fox as a 1 hour documentary on microbiology and called Creators of the Future, which debuted in primetime on PBS. So I guess he,
What?
oh, wait. So I guess he's kind of like a science guy too.
Yeah.
Rich starred as Lester, a disgruntled actor with bad agent and a rat suit who reluctantly helps Beekman with his experiments and trades barbs with Josie, Liza, and Phoebe. The character was originally conceived as a puppet character, but at the last minute, the show's producers decided it would be a costume actor. Ritz also operated the Herb Penguin puppet. Okay. He co-authored a book with a PhD, a parenting book called Mom, I Hate You. What a fucking life.
Wow.
God bless him. Mark
He
Ritz.
operating the herb is my teenage band.
Oh, so fucking good. There's also Ray the cameraman. So they would be like, "Hey, Ray," and you'd see hands come in.
Yeah.
It
Yeah,
was very like earnest that
he was
way.
like he was like the Ray I think of as like the gypsy character in Mystery Science Theater.
So you know what I watched? I just reminded myself of this, but I think it's apropos of this conversation. Like a month ago, in the middle, you know, but like in the middle of the night, you get like a weird, like you know, like hair up your ass about like I want to see something I saw as a kid that I haven't thought about. Do
Yeah.
you remember the one season show, Hey Vern, It's Ernest?
No, I think I was a little too young for that.
This
I know
is
of it.
it's it, it was 1988. It's a Ernest sketch show, I guess is the best way to describe it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have any of the wholesomeness of the Ernest movies. It's more like a fucking fever dream. Every sketch is like 10 seconds long, and then there's like 900 sketches. He plays everybody. They're all fucking bonkers. It's like watch it and you'd be like, who was this for?
Well, because wasn't every shot like from the POV of Vern?
Yes. It started off as like
It's
commercials.
commercials, yeah.
Yeah. So weird. Well, that's another thing we could kind of talk about too, right? In the 90s, you've got Ernest, you've got Pee-wee Herman, you've got Ed Grimley. There
Yeah.
was, and of course, Beakman, there was like a thing in the 90s of like weirdo guy.
Oh, I used to, when I thought, why, as a kid, when I would see Beekman, I would also think of Kramer.
Yes, because he's got this like crazy
Got the
wig on with
hair,
like
yeah.
straight up hair. Yes, and Kramer obviously a big part of it. Yeah. The 90s is very weird.
Ed Grimley, that's a whole other.
That he also had his own show, and I think animated show too at some point. And that was
No, it was animated, but there were live action Count Floyd segments.
right, because it started off as an SCTV sketch.
And then moved to SNL
SNL sketch,
from
right.
there.
Oh, there's a character on Beakman's World called Professor I Am Boring, and
Yes,
sometimes
it's
and it
just
would
this
be like black and white
Ultaloon.
footage, and it would be him explaining something in a boring scientific way, and that's just to come back and he'd be like, ah, oh, that guy's boring. Let me tell you about chlorophyll in a fun way.
Yeah.
It, by the way, there's also cartoon sound effects for everything. Anything that happens at all, you hear like.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like everything, like you need a scene transition. Now we're gonna flash warning lights and be like, car screech. Like,
Yeah. Each episode's like 20 minutes, and I gotta say, it goes down smooth. I think kids would
yeah.
like this today.
Oh, I think so too, because it has great pacing. Because it has that MTV style editing,
Yeah.
it's like you've got a main topic, then he reads like fast paced viewer mail, like a
Right.
Beak Mania segment where it's
Right, which
almost
is
like
just
they're trying to stump
question,
him.
question, question. Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's
Now,
usually some like third segment, and then like you're done.
yes, yeah. But it just all goes by so fast. It's just adrenaline. It's just like energy. When I was a kid, I was like, first of all, when I watched the show, I felt like I was doing something. I was like, I am learning things right now.
Yeah.
I am taking these little anecdotes and I am putting them in my back pocket for a dinner party I will be at later.
Yeah, I can't wait
With
to fill
grown-ups
a
in
Ziploc
suits.
bag. Yeah, I can't wait to fill a Ziploc bag of water and shove a pencil through it just to show it won't leak.
And be like, do you know that when you have a piece of toast with jam on it, flick it off the table, it'll always
Then your
land.
mom's like, "Why did you throw jam on my floor?
Why
What
did
are
you
we
do
doing
that?
here?"
But here's the funny thing. I don't think as a child, and I also at some point when I was like a little kid, was like, I want to be a scientist. Not because I was good in science class, I wasn't, but because of shit like this. Like, I don't think as a kid I understood the difference between a scientist and a quote mad scientist. I just wanted to be a
Yeah.
wacky guy.
I think a lot of people realize that like, because you're right, like he is teaching you real science and stuff that's like applicable in everyday life.
Yeah.
But if you really want to be a scientist, like I think everyone has that moment when you get to college where you take a science class or like a
There's a
class
lot
on
of math in
physics or
it for some
something.
reason.
Yeah, where you're like, oh, there's math. Oh,
Yeah, like science, the way to make science, the way that they always, I don't know if it's the only way, but the way that they always make science palatable is in trivia form. Here's trivia about the natural world that you may or may not have thought about.
Yeah.
And Beakman's is perfect because it's all questions from kids. So it's like, why is lightning do that? And why does my mom's car drive? And shit like that. Like, how does this work? How does that work? But then, like, when you get into it, you know, science is in fact quite hard.
Yeah.
Hold on. I had a thought. It was something else about this type of show. Oh, well.
Sorry, folks. Mike just remembered that Lester is dead and had an existential moment.
I know. I God, 63 is pretty young.
I want to know, did they? I'm not saying they buried him in the suit,
I think you are, but okay. I think you're establishing that premise.
but like, did they have the suit at the service? That's what I want to know. Like, off to the side.
I can't imagine. At least, you know how now it's popular at funerals to like make a Photoshopped like montage or
Big
collage.
collage, yeah.
There had to be at least a couple of prominent photos of him in the suit. There had to be.
Yeah.
Had to be.
We're not. He would have loved. Believe me, he would like me telling this story. This is not anything macabre. So, you remember our friend Steve Whalen. He's a local comedian here in New York
Yeah.
City. He sadly
Mr.
passed away
Jokes.
back. Mr. Joke, Steve Whalen. He sadly passed away back in 2020. And, like, literally, like, weeks before the pandemic started.
Literally like a week after we saw him, right? But I
Yeah,
remember we went out to
we
dinner with
went out for my
him and then he,
birthday.
yeah, yes.
And he unfortunately passed away. And at his funeral, at his wake, on a little table, were copies of his album. And it was like shilling stuff till the end, you son of
Got
a
you,
bitch. Like,
you gotta love it. You gotta love it. I remember I was like co-hosting a podcast, a short-lived podcast that wasn't PCMC, and it wasn't my podcast. I was just there. I was, I guess, like, I don't know, the announcer or like the third mic or whatever. And he was on the show, and he wouldn't let me read his plugs. I was like, because I would read all the plugs, and I was like, you really? Because like I can. That's kind of what I do. I read the plugs, then you don't have to show. And he's like, no, you're not going to do it right. Which is, I still don't understand why. Because all he's saying is like, I'm at the yuck yuck hut and fucking.
Yeah.
But he could not, he did not trust me to read the plugs.
Yeah, like he's like an old school comedian in a young man's body. Like if he came back for 5 minutes right now and could talk to me, his first question, if I told him what his funeral was like, would be like, so did anyone take the album?
Did anyone, was there a little
Did
cash
anyone buy
box?
the album? Was there a little cash money? Did they
Were
make a
you
little
collecting
cash off
five
of it?
bucks for a album?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I'm thinking about like, there was all, do you remember it was a line of toys called Mad Scientist? It might be before your time. It might be more 80s.
Yeah, I don't remember. I remember the doctor, not Dr. Demento. That's the radio guy. Oh, what was the thing from the 90s? Now I'm blanking on it. It wasn't Dr. Disgusting. That's sounds like a bad porn thing.
What kind of thing was it?
It was like science kits that you could like make stuff to eat, but it was like kind of gross. God, it's gonna bug me until I.
It wasn't creepy crawlers, was it?
No. Oh God. It's gonna fucking haunt. I'm
Dr.
getting
Dreadful.
Dr. Dreadful. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it was
Dr.
Dr. Dreadful.
Dreadful Food Lab. Oh, I had some of this. I
Yes,
remember, was this the
I did
guy?
too.
This was the guy who like you could like put powder in jet and like some sort
It
of
made
liquid and it
like
makes.
goop that you can eat.
Yeah. Oh, I
Yeah.
remember this. Yeah, and then I said creepy crawlers because creepy crawlers was sort of along the same lines of like
You
you
mean like
make your own
gummy?
bugs and
Yeah, but it was like gummy, but like
yeah.
I could still taste how they tasted. Like,
Yes,
because it
which is
wasn't like a
terrible.
traditional gummy. Yeah. Yes. It was fucking god awful.
Right.
Like, imagine making gummies, but like someone forgot to add flavor.
Yeah, but this was like a thing, like mad scientists, they've got crazy hair.
The one I loved that, like, I don't know if they would do today for safety reasons, but like the little metalwork one. We could melt down
Yes.
the metal pebbles and made
Yes, I
like
remember that.
statuettes.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I was thinking about when I was watching Beakman? And it was a real like self-reflective moment. I teach college level courses and I was like, you know, so I think my teaching style
Very Beakman.
is very Beakman. I think I did it. I think little me, I didn't grow up to be a mad scientist, but I grew up to be a guy who runs around going, look at this, and is crazy for a few minutes.
A big green coat and
Oh, that's all I need. That's all I need. Oh man, this was a fun walk down memory lane.
yeah, it go good. There's plenty of Beakman on, like this. I
It's
think all the
all on
episodes are,
YouTube.
yeah.
All of it. In
You guys
order,
have
well
no excuse.
organized.
You
Check it
guys have no
out.
excuse. Go watch it.
Yeah, check it out. Watch at least one. Do yourself a favor. It's good. And if you're someone who likes Bill Nye, maybe you'll like this too. I mean, look, they don't
Yeah.
have to be at odds. I don't think that they disliked each other.
No.
The world pitted them against each other.
Right. That was not their doing.
Yeah. But you know what? In Mexico, Bill
Oh, we
Nye
know who's.
and Paul Zaloom both walk into a fucking gin joint. Who's getting the best seat? Not Mr. Nye.
Nah, it's the loom.
Zaloom all the way, baby. Vin, thank you so much for being here. Vin, tell the people you got going on. What's going on with your Substack?
Yeah, go read that. I do a lot of art. I do two articles a week. Mostly the big project is music video breakdowns in the past 40 years. This week I did a fun one that's relevant because we were just talking about the 90s. Oh, this is very late 90s. I just did a piece on Eiffel 65.
What
And
was
blue, the blue Dabba Dee Dabba Die video.
Oh,
Do you remember
I don't
the
remember the
actual video?
video for that.
Okay, I actually referenced this in the article that like that song I feel was very much like a product of radio,
Right,
like
yes.
back when that could be a thing. Like it was just
Yeah.
this weird Italian dance song, and
Yeah,
it like made it to the States, and a lot of stations were just like, oh, this is kitschy and weird, and then it caught on. But like, have you ever actually seen the music video?
no, I will after
Okay.
this.
Okay. If you're done with this episode, you can dip out now. But if you want to stick around for this little bonus, look up the video really quick because I think you'll be shocked at what you find.
Okay. This is I'm absolutely doing this. It's just called I'm Blue.
It's called
Yeah, I
Blue
see. It's
Dabadi.
immediately about it. Oh, it's like reboot.
It's like weird bad CGI with like
Yeah.
blue aliens.
You know what, though? It is ringing a bell.
But like, what does anything in this video have to, like,
Well, what's the song about? Is the
I
song
don't
about it?
know. It's like I'm like I live a blue house in a blue window. It's like,
Speaking of this, did you see that Blue Man Group is over?
yeah,
They retired.
finally, scourge around this world is finally over.
Oh, Vin. Come on. They brought a lot of happiness to a lot of children.
Did they? What have you ever met someone that's been like, oh man, I met
If
the Blue
only
Man
for the
Group.
jokes in Arrested Development.
I blew myself.
I guess I blew myself.
But like, what have you ever met someone that's been like, yeah, man, you know,
Never met a single person who
ever
saw that.
since I saw the, well, that too, but also the idea of like, yeah, man, when I was a kid, I saw the Blue Man Group and I knew that interpretive stage dance was what I wanted to do, or like whatever they call what they do.
Do you know that
They also
Fred?
took over fucking Nickelodeon
Do you
Studios,
know
or
Fred
that, like,
Armisen was a blue man?
yes,
Probably our most famous blooming. All
Blue
right,
Man Onion.
we got to put this one to bed. Vin, thank you so much for being here. My friend and yours, Mr.
Yeah.
Vin Forte. I'm Mike Bongiorno. We come out every Wednesday. This is your one-stop shop for non-toxic fandom, pop culture
Oh,
ephemera.
also subscribe to that Substack, vinforte.substack.com.
Absolutely. He got it in. He got in the plug. Vin,
Yeah,
we
you
end every
gotta.
episode by saying,
Go bye bye.